Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Time now to check the very latest in our ever-changing world of new media and social media with our resident guru and commentator, Steve Krieger. Steve, every time we talk, we're being confronted by an amazing rate of change and such interesting stories this time around. Welcome.
Thanks, Lee. It's really good to be back.
Thought I'd say that. Twitter stories. There's a special website being set up and some interesting stories about Twitter too.
Twitter has developed a new website. In one sense, it's an advertising campaign, but it's also a great way of illustrating the power of a tweet. To give you an example, there's a guy in America whose mother had a bookshop and the bookshop was struggling. And so he wrote on his blog that he would buy people a burrito if they spent $50 at his mother's bookshop. Now, he put that detail on the blog and then shared the link to that blog post via Twitter. That link went viral. People were sharing it everywhere. And as his mother explains, the blog that only received a couple of hits every day was up to hundreds of hits as people learnt about this offer and started to visit the bookshop. Now, that year, and that was a couple of years ago, his mother's bookshop in the holiday season, as she puts it, sold more books than she'd ever sold before. And that growth trend has continued every year since. Wow. And so this site is littered with these beautiful little stories showing how just one little tweet out to a couple of hundred followers can change a business and change the world.
What a wonderful thing. I'll give you the link. It's stories.twitter.com if you want to check it out. Some great stories, as Steve says. Max, tell me about Max. He's declared war on Facebook.
He has. He was concerned about how much data Facebook was keeping about him. And so he wrote to them and he asked them, well, can you send me all of the information that you have kept? Now, he has received in the mail on CD from Facebook 1,222 pages of data of chats and conversations and emails and posts that he has put on Facebook ever since he joined. He was concerned particularly because a lot of the information that he thought he deleted, Facebook had kept. And his concern was that Facebook's privacy laws didn't actually match the European Union's privacy laws. I think what's particularly concerning about this story is that the punishment for companies to breach any privacy legislation, say in this example, the European Union, is $133,000. Facebook is valued at $48 billion. Yeah. This is a drop in the ocean for them. This is a reminder for us that we need to control the data that is distributed, because even if we've deleted it, it's never really been deleted. So if you don't want it permanently available to other people, never put it online.
And it's been a big issue for Facebook.
It has.
They've seemed to be assuring us that they're continually monitoring this and reforming and refining that. Should we be satisfied with what they're doing?
I think we just need to be wary. We need to be wary of other organisations that control our data, because we can never be 100% certain how that's going to be used. And so the lesson that I'm reminded from this episode is, if you don't want it available to other people, don't put it online.
Okay. Steve Jobs, they're still writing about him some month or so after he died. We had an article just the last couple of days about his last words and also his thoughts on the allure of technology. Very interesting insights.
Mm. Apparently, the last words that he uttered before slipping into unconsciousness were, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow." Now, Steve Jobs has changed our world in many ways, many good ways, but there's lots of quotes that are circulating about the philosophy that drove this man and how his life was driven by these values. Here's a great quote, I think. It's a reminder for many of us. He reflects when he's 40 years old that this stuff, this technology, really doesn't change the world. "I'm sorry," he says, "it's true. Having children really changes your view on these things. We're born, we live for a brief instant, and we die. It's been happening for a long time. Technology is not changing it much, if at all. These technologies can make life easier. They can let us touch people we might not otherwise. You may have a child with a birth defect and be able to get in touch with other parents and support groups. Get medical information, the latest experimental drugs. These things can profoundly influence life. I'm not downplaying that. But it's a disservice," he says, "to constantly put things in this radical new light, that it's going to change everything. Things don't have to change the world to be important." It's a great warning for us about not relying too much on technology. From a man who has, in one sense, taught us to rely on technology as we've waited eagerly for every new release of Apple products.
The great guru.
Absolutely.
And it's somewhat reassuring that someone so powerful and so immersed in that world can, as is necessary, I think beyond the world of technology.
Mm. He was a man who had suffered many failures in his career. I mean, when he was kicked out of Apple, the company that he started, that really caused him to reconsider what his life was about and how he was going to spend his energy. But he clearly was a man who wasn't driven by money. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to make his life count, and I think he did.
And there was nothing like pancreatic cancer and the almost death sentence that ensures to concentrate the poor man's mind wonderfully. So somewhat related, smartphones. He was right there with that, Steve Jobs.
Mm.
The latest advice is don't sleep with your smartphone nearby, which is a trap for all of us, actually, might I say.
Well, there's one, I mean, I guess there's a couple of different pieces of advice here. The first is the one that we're always being warned about, is the dangers of having a phone too close to your head. Mm. I wonder whether it's going to be, cigarettes one day, and we suddenly discover that actually those mobile phones aren't that good for you.
Yep.
But there's a bigger point, and that is the reliance that we have begun to have on these phones that connect us in so many ways to other people. And the fact that we often can be tempted to think that we're not really living unless we're connected to people around the world. I mean, I only just got back from holidays and I really wasn't kind of connected at all while I was away. It was a strange feeling of disconnect. Well, that is what a holiday is meant to do.
Too right.
But I felt disconnected from the rest of the world and in one sense was forced to rely on the people that I was actually spending time with.
Technology. Imagine that.
It was unique. I actually enjoyed spending time with my wife and my sister and brother-in-law.
I'm encouraged.
But when we have Facebook and Twitter and all these other tools on our phones, we're tempted to look at those rather than enjoy just the people that we're spending time with.
Yeah.
Constantly, and I'm sure many of our listeners could reflect on this, you know, we wake up in the morning and the first thing that we do is check Facebook. And we go to bed at night and the last thing that we do is check Facebook. These activities, these technologies are shaping the way that we spend our time. And a challenge to those listeners who are Christians is, you know, why don't we wake up the day and spend that time giving thanks to God for a brand new day and end the night by thanking God for the life that he's given us rather than turning to Facebook for...
Yeah. I mean, there are doctors who would say that the screen stuff into our eyes will keep us awake for longer before we can fall into true sleep as well.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't help but reflect on the things that you've seen on your phone as you lie there in bed. For a long time, people have said, you know, don't look at television for an hour before you go to sleep. If you have to do anything, read a book. But this isn't something that many of us are doing.
Okay, final one. I love this. A mum has created an iPhone sermon bingo app for kids. Please explain. This is lovely.
This is a brilliant idea. So this mother, like many of our mothers who are listening tonight, had a problem getting her kids to concentrate during church. She had lots of options available to her, give them some colouring in books and some pencils and send them on their way. But she wanted to do more than just distract them. She wanted to engage them in the sermon and teach them to listen to what the preacher was saying. And so she developed an iPhone app that enables you to add to the app a number of words that you might find spoken during a sermon. And then throughout the sermon, as kids hear these words spoken, they touch the screen, which recognizes that word has been said. When they have heard all of those words, they get bingo. And then there's the capacity to kind of build in some rewards for children for kind of hearing all of these words over a particular space of time.
Does everybody in the church hear the bingo go off?
Well perhaps. I mean, maybe everyone, and adults included, should use this app to stay concentrating throughout the sermon. But I thought this is a great idea. You know, rather than just distracting your kids, sit on the floor, colour in, do your own thing.
Yep.
Teach them to listen to what's going on.
Absolutely. And get the minister to be more interesting in the sermon.
And perhaps drop in some crazy words. words.
Yeah. Now that's a thing. Steve Krieger, always great to chat. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.